Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of November, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, interesting day here. We had some sharp reactions after initial gains. In other words, initial gains retraced and ending with a bit of a sell-off. Now, that actually started in Asia. The markets were soft generally. Most of them were down in here today. It really does look as if we're getting at least some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages, either in the form of a pullback or just a loss of upside momentum and a sideways trading range. Now, what was interesting is that looks like about 12:30, 12:45 that the U.S. I think announced that its economy had grown at 2.8% in the quarter, which of course sounds quite attractive, but then they added the data that a lot of it was on inventory increases. So they did the manufacturing, in other words, but it's built up the supplies within corporations. So they have more than enough to sell, and the industry is affected, and that means that we might well see further or rather a decline in manufacturing in the fourth quarter. That's the way it's being interpreted. But if you look at the daily charts, we saw, as I say, these sharper rallies early on and then coming off. Another factor that took place here today is that the ECB cut its interest rate. It had been at 0.5%. That's the European Central Bank, of course. Rate had been at 0.5%, and they cut it to 0.25% because the recovery, and actually we kind of flatter the economic situation in Europe by calling it a recovery, but it's less of a disaster than it was. But it's far from robust. And therefore, the monetary policy in Europe is certainly going to be staying very accommodative. Nobody's talking about tapering or the equivalent there. But what happened is that those European indices shot up following the rate cut news and then gave it all up and a little bit more in a number of instances. Then the third example, I mean, Wall Street really has been priced for perfection recently, and I've been commenting on this all week. And what we saw in terms of the technical action, I've mentioned the GDP figure, but in terms of the technical action, we've had some downward dynamics, including some key day reversals for the major indices such as the Dow, the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, and the S&P, S&P 500 index. So, again, we are susceptible to sideways to lower price action here overall. And if investors become a little bit frightened, because we did have quite overbought conditions, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. But if they do take fright in here, then markets will come back more sharply than they actually went up, as is usually the case. Then you've got what I mentioned yesterday. You've got all these initial public offerings. And when these are coming out, and then you get things like Twitter and the share price is surging, people think that's absolutely wonderful for the market. But you get that surge in public offerings when the people who are offering these shares know that you've got a frothy market and therefore you're going to get a successful flotation because you've got a lot of hot money sloshing around in the market. And you also get the offerings because, again, the people who are the investment banks, the ones that are bringing these to the market, feel that conditions are generally overbought. So people can see this and say, well, look at all these flotations, and a number of them are grabbing headlines and doing really quite well. And they think, well, gosh, this is an awfully good market. Well, it's an awfully overbought market. It's a classic sign of a market that's overextended, overbought, and due for at least a reaction and consolidation towards, for instance, the 200-day moving averages. Now, the opposite extreme, when you think back over the decades, and when you see alarmist headlines because flotations have to be pulled because the underwriters don't feel that they're actually going to be able to place the stock. They think they're going to be left holding most of the stock themselves. And people think, God, what a nightmare. But that almost always occurs right at the bottom of the market, and it attracts central bank attention, and then they come in and pump up monetary policy. So, okay, in terms of monetary policy, it's still all very positive. But as I said, with Wall Street virtually priced for perfection, a frothy environment here overall, we are seeing at least a small reaction, and don't be surprised if it becomes somewhat bigger. Now, elsewhere, bond prices are higher in here today. That's often the case when Wall Street actually weakens. And I've talked a lot about Wall Street, and I've written a lot about Wall Street, but I think this really is the big story here, because what happens in that U.S. market is certainly going to affect other markets around the world. We already see that. As a matter of fact, they've already started many of them to wilt, not least in Asia. When I say wilt, that's an exaggeration, but they're certainly the Asian markets are certainly softer than what we have seen on Wall Street, and that what we have seen on some of the frontier markets from the Middle East, for instance. Egypt's stock market has done extremely well. Saudi Arabia has done extremely well. Okay, but I was talking about those long-dated government bond prices. They tend to firm up. In other words, yields come off a little bit when the stock markets are soft, and that's what we saw today. The dollar was very strong on the GDP figures, but then came back. It still held gains, but the U.S. dollar index had been up at 81.46. And remember, just over 2 weeks ago, we were down at that 79 level. So that's a good recovery. It closed well off the high, though, at 80.82 for that DXY dollar index. Now, the weak currency in here today clearly is the euro, and that pulled back to 1.34 against the U.S. dollar. Remember, that was up at 138 last week. And sterling, well, sterling was just about unchanged in here, so no drama there. The Aussie's a little bit softer. With the dollar stronger, even though it gave up some of those gains, the precious metals weakened, but they closed well off their lows as the dollar gave up some ground. For instance, gold is trading here after hours at 1308. It was down at 1296 near the low, and silver down $12 nearly at 2165. These are coming off what had been a fairly firm tone. Earlier in the week, 761, nearly 762 for palladium, down a couple of dollars. And down $14 on the platinum, 1453, and a little bit of change. Crude oil, let's see, we've got that at 94.19 for the WTI. And let's have a look at the Brent. I just have to change the settings here. And the Brent, down to 103.41. Now that has pulled the commodity indices a little bit lower. The good news is that energy prices are not an increasing headwind for the global economy. They're actually giving up ground. And remember, what was it, a fortnight ago? My guess is that we were up over 110 on that Brent crude. So there's a definite softening here. And that means that the commodity price inflation, which would certainly worry the central banks, is not going to be worrying them today, unless they're more worried about some disinflationary, deflationary pressures here overall. So bottom line, it's a soft economy overall. Although those industrial metals and mining shares, again, remember, they're cheap. Now, do you want to buy an overpriced retail stock? Maybe wonderful for the medium to longer term, but you know, you're up at 25 times earnings, whereas some of these quality miners are selling on PERs of 9, 10 with decent yields, and they're also cutting some of their less profitable production, and so these industrial metals look like they're building these rangy type 3 bases for recovery over the medium term, not the short term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.